Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.
It's time now for the business news. We're joined today by Samantha McCochran, the business editor of the Sunday Independent. And the first question for you, Samantha, is where is our governor of the central bank, Gabriel Moclouf?
Well, surprisingly, he's running the institution from Greece at the moment. And there's a report there in the Irish Times today basically saying that he went there when there wasn't a severe lockdown to visit an ill relative. Since during that period, it became a more intense lockdown, so he's actually stuck there running the institution from that location. According to Pascal Dunne, Minister of Finance, he is in full communication at this very important time for the central bank with all the arms of the state. There's obviously been some very big decisions being made in relation to financial institutions at the moment, such as a moratorium on mortgages. And according to the bank and to the minister, he's fully involved. I suppose everyone else in the bank is working from different locations, albeit presumably in Ireland at this time.
Yeah, there's about 1,800 staff in the central bank, about four times as many as we had in the last financial crash. But they are working remotely, have been doing so for the last couple of weeks. But as you say, I doubt if anyone thought that the boss would be in Greece working remotely from there. Yeah. Interesting results out today from Dairygold, which is the state's largest farmer-owned dairy co-op. It's having its problems as a result of COVID-19. What are they?
Well, there's been a big fall off in demand globally for dairy products, with Asia and Europe essentially in shutdown, certainly large parts of it anyway. The food service business has just completely reduced its demand. So any restaurants, takeaways, all that type of thing, a lot of them have reduced their services. But also there's been a 20% collapse in skimmed milk powder prices. The vast majority of milk produced in Ireland is processed in some way, and a key export of ours is skimmed milk powder, and that's dropped the price of that about 500 to 600 euro per tonne, about 20%. So that's having an impact. And funnily enough, they actually raised Brexit again. We haven't heard that in a long time, but they're still a bit worried about that because we export, our Dairygold exports 30,000 tonnes of cheddar, predominantly cheddar cheese to the UK, and that's still going to be a big issue for them, even when this hopefully passes.
I'm fascinated by some of the figures that Dairygold expanded its milk production to 1.39 billion litres in 2019, which is up by about 65%, nearly two-thirds since quotas were removed in 2014. But what's also interesting is turnover of just fractionally over a billion euro, and yet profits, operating profits of just under 36 million, which shows, that, I suppose, Samantha, that they have pretty small profit margins and they're going to be hit badly by COVID-19.
Well, that's it. The dairy industry and also the meat industry are notoriously thin margins. Those numbers highlighted exactly. So it doesn't take a lot for those sectors to go off balance. And they're watching a lot of those developments, the coronavirus, Brexit. Those are very, very important, how they play out for those industries.
Now, something else that was released today is a thing called the AIB Purchasing Managers Index. This is something that AIB sponsors to look at manufacturing output. And it sort of gives an early insight into the economy ahead of official data. It isn't good from it, is it?
No, it's not a good sign at all. So the PMI for manufacturing, it gives us an indication of orders, and they pretty much have not quite collapsed. They've definitely fallen into negative territory. So basically, if the index is below 50, it shows that there's a contraction in that area in the index. And the latest figures show that they were down to 45. It's not as bad as it was in the worst of times when, 2008, 2009, when it dipped as low as 35. But there was a warning that this is not a good sign and there may be further dips to come. I think the 12-month outlook was the worst on record for March. And this index has been going since 1998. So it just goes to show what a change in sentiment there's been in just a few weeks.
Now, I imagine the National Treasury Management Agency is going to be very busy on behalf of the state in the coming weeks. I think it had an objective of raising somewhere between 10 and 14 billion euro in new debt for the state to replace debt that was maturing. It's going to be an awful lot busier now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So it announced today that it's planning to hire a group of banks to market a big bond deal for later this month. And they usually do that at the beginning of the year, big banks like Morgan Stanley and Deutsche Bank to market Irish bonds. Now it's happening much more intensely than we would have expected. A huge amount of money has to be found and borrowed to deal with the cover the financial supports for business and employees that have been announced by the government in the last days and weeks. So the estimates, it's really a matter of how many billion more. I mean, there's talk of this year maybe 30 billion euros in debt. So it's a busy time for them. That we are relatively well placed. You know, the Irish debt is viewed much better than, much more favourably across Europe and elsewhere than it was when we went into the last recession. But it is going to be quite extraordinary numbers of money that we have to take on.
Yeah, I mean, everyone used to get very annoyed at the ratings agencies back a decade ago, but I see the likes of Moody's are saying Ireland's in a good position to borrow throughout 2020.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Moody's was quite quick to be much more negative the last time around. But yeah, it issued a report saying Ireland should be quite resilient this time around, assuming that it's not a prolonged period of disruption. If we get back quite quickly, we should be well positioned. Our debt profile is good. And it was actually quite a positive message. But again, it's all predicated on this being a reasonably quick a reasonably short period that we get out of this as soon as possible, because the longer it goes on, the more difficult it's going to be for anyone, for all of us to recover from this.
Well, indeed, and that's particularly the case, I think, in the for car sales. Niall mentioned it in the 6 at 6, a collapse in new car sales, which is really important given that about 50,000 people are employed in this sector in Ireland. Just give us briefly some of the figures again, please, Samantha.
Yeah, so car sales down 63%, new car sales in March. You're talking last year, this time last year, 16,700 cars, new cars being sold in March. This time around, it's just over 6,000. So that's a significant fall. Obviously, car rooms are shut down, but people are very, very slow to make a big ticket purchase like that as well.
Yesterday in the programme, we were talking about construction of houses. What about new hotels? Because we see them flying up, particularly in Dublin. Is there an expectation that there will be a dramatic slowdown in the availability of new hotel bedrooms?
Yeah, so I think Savills is predicting that the pipeline for hotels could be hit to the tune of 32%. That would be thousands of rooms not being built on time as expected by the end of 2022. So naturally enough, some hotels are quite advanced in their construction, but there is pretty much a stoppage on construction at the moment, so those hotel rooms just won't be built on time, and that's going to be particularly impacting on Dublin. But the Savills are saying that with the slowdown in construction, and presumably demand is currently being impacted and may be affected longer term as well, that you will see other parts of the country quite a knock-on effect on their development of hotels, Cork, Galway, Limerick and other regional areas being hit.
And finally, briefly, Samantha, we've seen that Ryanair and IAG, the owner of Aer Lingus, are reasonably insulated from this downturn by the enormous amount of cash that they have in their balance sheets. But it's looking very difficult for the likes of CityJet and Stobart Air, isn't it?
Yeah, so CityJet flies mainly short-haul routes for other airlines like Air France, KLM, and it does to Dublin to London City Airport for Aer Lingus. But it is a couple of weeks ago laid off most of its staff. It's currently now seeking advice from its auditors, Deloitte, and other parties on how it can deal with this problem. So it's obviously feeling a significant pressure there at the moment. Meanwhile, then Stobart Air, which operates Aer Lingus's regional services, it's also under pressure. It's grounded nearly all of its flights. It's really a skeleton crew, and it too is turning to Deloitte for some advice on how to handle this kind of crisis.
Okay, well, we wish them the best. Okay, thank you very much, Samantha McCorkran, business editor of the Sunday Independent, for doing the business news for us today.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.